Hare Krishna, our great fortune once again to hear His Holiness Bhakti Bhagavat Swami Maharaj in Nectar of Instruction Bhakti Shastri course in Shridham Mayapur. This is 14th of November 2013. Hare Krishna.
Volunteers, one or two or even three, some important points from yesterday's discussion, from text number 6 and 7. You may have written some notes so you can refer to them and bring it out. Anyone? Yes. Take the microphone, give him the microphone.
We discussed some of the reasons why Srila Prabhupada was criticized. For going overseas, for starting the Brahmacharini Ashram.
Brahmacharini Ashram.
Brahmacharini Ashram.
Yes.
Giving Brahmin initiation to Westerners.
Yes.
And even
accepting the title of Prabhupada. Yes. And what did Srila Prabhupada say? And for all the criticism they are doing?
Nothing.
Nothing. Somebody else, some other points? Yes.
Pandavas may arise by Pandavas are two types. One is by the Lord's will and second is by doing mad elephant offense.
Yes, Vaishnava Parad, mad elephant offense. And the other one is by the Lord's will, that one can fall down. And by the Lord's will is within the Lila Shakti or pastime potency of the Lord. In that sense. Yes.
Once one is on the level of Bhava, then in principle one cannot be affected by Maya.
Yes. Prabhupada says that.
Unless one makes a mad elephant offense. Or according to the Lord's will for his pastime.
Yeah, it's more according to the Lord's will. Usually on the platform of Bhava one is actually free from offense. It's free. Yeah. But it's more the Lord's will. Good. So, yes? Microphone?
If by chance you may make some offense by the mind, through the mind, it won't be so severe as physically doing the offense.
Or verbally.
Yeah, verbally.
In other words, the offense is committed within the mind, there's no reaction for that. It's a special prerogative in Kali Yuga. You don't get a reaction for offenses committed in the mind. But that's where it begins. So one should arrest it instead of moving it to verbal or physical, so one will not get a reaction for that. Usually, we recommend that if you are offensive within the mind to a particular devotee, then and you won't get a reaction for it, so try to serve that devotee, and then that offensive mentality will go away. he may not know why you're serving him, you just do some service. Then it'll go away. Before it goes to verbal or physical, you can do that. Yes?
I read something about His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj that caused me some concern, and I made some mental offenses in my mind.
Yes.
I wrote to Maharaj.
Yes.
I explained the situation to him.
Uh-huh.
He wrote me back. He said, I'm very glad you wrote to me. He said, don't worry, I'm a visionary. And sometimes visionaries are misunderstood. And then, you know, with love, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, Bhakti Tirtha Swami. Then the next time I met him here in Mayapur, I offered my obeisances and he embraced me.
Mm-hmm.
It was very nice to his stage.
Yes.
So revealing the mind might, to that devotee might also be an option. What do you think?
It depends. On the maturity of the devotee. Fortunately, this devotee, you know, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, advanced devotee, exalted personality, he could easily relate to that. But if the devotee is not as mature and realized as His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, you know, you may get a different reaction. You have to be careful. It happens, and you know, the reaction may be something like, I didn't know you didn't like me. You know, that type of thing. If it comes from like a devotee who is not so mature, well, I didn't know you were thinking bad about me like that. You know, so better not to. It depends. The maturity of the devotee is important, but it's better not to reveal one's mind. Just try to remove it from the mind by serving the devotee. Like that. If in this situation it's an exceptional case, because it generally sometimes doesn't happen like that. You can get a reaction by revealing your mind to the person you're committing an offense to in the mind. You may get a reaction from them. Then you have to formally beg for forgiveness. It's like if you tell somebody something that's negative, that's on your mind in relation to them, it's not going to help them and neither it's going to help you. But if you just serve them positively, then the negativity of your own mind will go away in that sense, because there's no reaction for that in the Kali Yuga. It's easier to take it off the mind. Positively serving the person. So you have to look at the negative side and the positive side of the thing. Is that all right? Okay, we move ahead. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So these are exalted verses coming up. I'm in no way qualified to discuss them, but we will, for the sake of purification, we will go through them for myself personally. So we are in text number 8 on page number 72. Tanna marupa charita di sukirtananu.
Tanna marupa charita di sukirtananu.
Smityo kramena rasana manasi niyojya.
Smityo kramena rasana manasi niyojya.
Tistan vrajeta anuragi jananugami.
Tishtam Prajetaraturavi Jananugami
Kalam Nayet Akilam Iti Upadeshasaram
Kalam Nayet Akilam Iti Upadeshasaram.
Translation: the essence of all advice
is that
one should utilize
one's
full time,
24 hours a day,
in nicely chanting
and remembering
the Lord's divine name,
transcendental form,
qualities,
and eternal
pastimes,
thereby gradually
engaging one's tongue
and mind.
In this way,
one should reside
in Vraja
Goloka Vrindavan
Dham
and serve
Krishna
under the guidance
of
devotees.
One should follow
in
the footsteps
of
the Lord's beloved devotees
who
are deeply attached
to
his devotional
service.
So this particular verse
is
in relation to Raganuga and Sadhana Bhakti.
Especially
the last line,
Anuga
means to follow.
So therefore
the last line in the
translation,
one should
follow
in
the footsteps
of the Lord's
beloved
devotees.
So
one should follow
in the footsteps,
that is
Rag
Anuga,
following
those who are
deeply attached.
And in
the end of it, it says,
we're deeply attached
to his
devotional
service.
And
in the footsteps of,
I mean, it says
the Lord's beloved
devotees,
that is
Ragatmika,
in
that sense.
So before
I continue,
so
we are on the
screen,
text 8 to
11,
Raganuga
Sadhana Bhakti,
spontaneous
devotional
service in
which the devotee
follows
in
the footsteps of
one of the
eternal associates
of Krishna
in Vrindavan.
This is
text number 8.
And then
Bhava Bhakti,
devotional
service and ecstasy,
or primary
stage of love of
Krishna.
And Prema
Bhakti, mature,
pure
love of Krishna.
These are
text number 9,
10
through 11.
We are there
now.
Okay.
In this...
In
the words itself
of the particular
verse, text
number 8,
the
word manasi is
there,
and yet
the word,
and
in the word for
word it says,
and the mind.
In other
words, engaging
one's tongue
and
the mind.
So
before that, Prabhupada
says engaging
one's tongue.
So in
the purport,
Prabhupada
immediately goes to
the mind.
Purport.
Since
the mind may be
one's enemy or
one's friend,
one has to
train the mind
to become his
friend.
Okay.
So now,
up
to text number
7,
in
terms of Vaidhi
Sadhana Bhakti,
the
mind is usually
not
one's
friend.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
So when
you come to text
number 8,
and Gopa
Goswami is
advising us
to also
engage
the mind
in remembering
Krishna,
you
sort of have the
potency
from your
perspective
to
actually
engage
the mind,
just like
how you engage
the senses.
You know,
the senses are
engaging,
like
seeing the deity
form of the Lord,
hearing,
smelling the
flowers,
you know,
tasting Krishna
Prasad. But the senses of the body are easier to engage in devotional service. But the mind is not that easy to engage because the mind is more clever. You know, it's like that. It's actually naughty, but more clever. But at this point, on the stage of Bhava Bhakti, the mind does not give much trouble at all. So one can easily engage the facility of the mind in the Lord's service also. In fact, in the stage of Bhava Bhakti, to some extent, the gross body and the subtle body are completely purified. Like the agitation of the senses, which includes the mind, is practically no more there. It's a very elevated stage of consciousness in this sense. And usually this state of consciousness is guhyatma. It is confidential. It is not for show, you know, for advertisement or for discussion. It is not really like that. So then Rupa Goswami, he dedicated much of this book more to the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, the first 7 verses. And text 8 to 11, and the purports are also fairly short, you know, even from Prabhupada's side. Just giving a brief of it in that sense, like that. Like, why? Because we said that these stages of devotional service, especially Bhava and Prema Bhakti, they descend by their own mercy. They descend by their own sweet will as a result of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti to attract them. But at the same time, our effort may be there, but they descend by its own mercy. Okay? So Srila Prabhupada, he speaks about the mind in this paragraph. And he goes on to the next paragraph speaking about a transmigration on page 74. You with me? Everyone's with me? Yes. And in that next paragraph it says at the time of death at the beginning on the top third line. You with me? Okay. If you go down to the middle of the page, like that. This process of transmigration is very subtle. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami advises devotees to train their minds in order that they will be unable to remember anything other than Krishna. Similarly, the tongue should be trained to speak only of Krishna and to taste only Krishna prasad. And then after that, he discusses, if one is able to do this, although the verses say, the verse itself says that then one makes Vrindavan his or her residence. You with me? One makes Vrindavan his or her residence, like that. Srila Prabhupada is in keeping of the mood and the verse of Srila Rupa Goswami, like that. In other words, the keeping of the mood in relation to Srila Rupa Goswami is that from a Gaustiya Nandi, which means a preacher, one is now more internally placed as a Bhajana Nandi. Is that okay? Bhajana Nandi. In other words, one makes, Prabhupada says in the purport, when one makes a Vrindavan his residence, he should take shelter of an advanced devotee there. He says in the same paragraph, like that. But I have to say something else. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada himself, we have to also recognize he is our last acharya that we do follow also. Srila Prabhupada was a Gaustiya Nandi from beginning to end. Are you aware of this? Even right at the end, in his last breaths, he was translating Srimad Bhagavatam. And you can read those translations. It's all in the mood of a preacher, Gaustiya Nandi, like that. In fact, one time, Srila Prabhupada was on the rooftop of I don't know the exact location of the building, but there are pictures. Srila Prabhupada sitting on the rooftop of the building prior to the present temple of Radha Govinda Mandir in New York City. I think now it's not in Manhattan. I mean, I've been to the temple. What area is that?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, it's in Brooklyn. But prior to that there was in another temple, I think maybe Henry Street before that.
There's a big
13-story
skyscraper.
Yes,
maybe.
Where was that?
48th Street and Broadway, Times Square.
That's in Manhattan.
Yeah, big tall skyscraper.
Yes. So in that building, Prabhupada was on the roof. And you'll see pictures of Prabhupada. And you'll see Tamakrishna Goswami and other sannyasis sitting there like that. So Prabhupada mentioned to the devotees, I heard this from Tamakrishna Goswami. Earlier in the mid-90s, he was talking to disciples. Prabhupada said something like, and if I leave my body just like Arjuna on the battlefield, you know, on the battlefield of preaching, if I leave my body, then you make my samadhi here, on this rooftop of this building. Because I came with the most important message to the most important city, New York. That's where I started, and that's why I probably should end on this rooftop. You make my samadhi here, and this will purify the whole of New York. He was mentioning something to the effect. So he was a ghost Anandi, a preacher from beginning to end. From beginning to end, he's a preacher. But we're following his purport in terms of like giving up the preaching and getting into a Bhajan Anandi, although Ghost Anandi from beginning to end includes Bhajan Anandi to the extent also. Because Prabhupada did retire in the last days to Vrindavan, but still preaching to his last breath, you know, purports to Bhagavata. So I just thought I'll mention that now because questions may come up, you know, deciding if Vrindavan become a Bhajan Anandi, you know, and so forth like that. Okay. Then there's a team that nicely prepared this particular text, you know, in terms of premature realization and so forth, right? Where's the team? I don't want to discuss something that you may discuss, you know, in that sense. Just now, when you come for your presentation, Omar already spoke about this and we also meant to speak about it. Like that. So please come. You have a PowerPoint? Okay. Let's see.
Somebody can give an introduction.
Yeah. You need to put it onto your computer, right?
We have a multi-course presentation. So that really is a presentation. It involves a number of elements, one of them being a sing-along, of which I expect all of you to sing along. There will be some group chanting that you can pitch in. It will be up on the PowerPoint right up there. There's four of us.
You need to take this, right?
Well,
yeah.
Oh, there it is. There's four of us in the group, and we have, of course, our exalted guest from the London Theatrical District. Hi, Bob. Bob is putting together the PowerPoint right now. So during the sing-along part, if you feel compelled to stand up and clap your hands, we will be standing up clapping our hands, so feel free to do so. And it's a nice little sing-along, along with the chants. There will be a play. And towards the end of the presentation, there will be cows. Mooing cows, yes, mooing cows. And authorities intervening on mooing cows. Mm-hmm. One of our authorities right
here. My trumpet.
So,
cloth, or will there be trumpet playing?
Yes, there will be trumpet.
This is casually rehearsed, so bear with us as we embarrass ourselves. This is our presentation of Radha Deva Bhakti, and we're going to go over what it is and demonstrate what happens if we prematurely adopt it. So we will take you through the entire presentation. We'd like you to sing along with us. That first we have to start with the basics of controlling the senses, the tongue, the belly, the genitals, the udara pasta vegam, the pushings of the pasta, pizza and pasta and other kinds of pushings. Udara pasta vegam. We have to control the pushings of the mind, the anger, the words. So before progressing up to the eighth text, which we are talking about today, Radha Ruga Bhakti, first we have to have the basics, the sadhachar, the behavior that we actually are controlling our senses, we're performing activities favorable to devotional service, utsahanis, shayat, tayat, taksat, karma, pravartanat, sangha chagat, sutopate, sakir, paktir, pasidati. We're performing, we're avoiding those activities that should be avoided. Achahara, payas, cha, prajapani, magraha, chana, sangha, stilodhim, cha, shakir, bhaktir, vinashati. So before we get to raganuga bhakti, we should have this foundation of the lotus feet of the Lord, of at least controlling the senses and doing those activities that are favorable to bhakti and also avoiding those activities that should be avoided. Are you with me? Are we on the same page? Okay, so this is the principle. Get the foundation first. First deserve. Huh? Get the foundation first. And then desire. And if we don't follow this properly, there's a danger here. We should be cautious. We might burn in the fire, and we can run into all different kinds of troubles in our bhakti if we don't follow this principle. So let's move on. Check two, 1, 2. Okay, here are some basic definitions of raganuga bhakti given by Srila Prabhupada. Can I have a volunteer to read the first line here? Yes, Thomas in the back.
I guess we've heard of devotional service is spontaneous love.
Okay, good, thank you. Someone else can read this next definition. This next definition of raganuga bhakti is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 8221.
One is to serve Krishna according to the deep principles enjoined in the shastras and given by the spiritual master. But if one develops spontaneous love for Krishna in the activities of those who live in Rajaguna, one attains the platform of Raganuga Bhakti.
Thank you. So this emphasis, okay, and again, so would you?
A neophyte can gradually develop attachment for Krishna's name, fame, form, qualities, and when one has developed attachment, he can spontaneously serve the lotus feet of Krishna without following the regulative principles. This is called raga bhakti or devotional service in spontaneous love. This stage is called raganuga bhakti.
Thank you. So there's a very important distinction between sadhana bhakti and raganuga bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means what? Who can define sadhana bhakti? Vaidhi bhakti. Can I have a hand, please? Sadhana bhakti means what? Yes, Prabhu.
Practicing devotional service under rules and regulations.
Practicing devotional service under rules and regulations. Excellent. But here, raganuga bhakti is defined as? Without following the regular principles, without rules and regulations. So this is a very important distinction between sadhana bhakti and raganuga bhakti. And this is one of the main reasons that we should not jump prematurely from sadhana bhakti to raganuga bhakti.
I interjected.
Yeah,
go back to the slide.
Yes, okay. We have a comment from Maharaj.
While the slide is still on, can somebody explain what it actually means without following the regulative principles, which is given in a bold writing there? What it actually means?
Just make an attempt to...
Because it's an important thing. In Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, we follow rules. In Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, without following the regular, it says that it's in your purport. So what does it actually mean?
My limited understanding with Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, the motivation to follow is based on the spiritual master's instructions and the scriptural injunctions. Whereas in Raganuga Bhakti, the motivation is more towards spontaneity rather than being told by someone else. They follow the principles without being told. Doesn't mean that they don't follow it, they follow without being told by someone else. That's my and it comes spontaneously.
So your definition still begs the question, because they're following under voluntary force by rules and regulations under the direction of the spiritual master Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So in Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti, you are saying they don't have to be told, but they are still following. But yeah, it says without following the regulative principles. I need more on that. It's good, good attempt, it's good. Anyway, you can also say, if you like. We need more on that. It's very important, because I'll tell you why. In Vrindavan, this is like for Vrindavan, somebody may be not going to Mangalarti, may not rise early in the morning and go like that. So if you ask that somebody who's like a senior devotee and he's staying in Vrindavan for many years, you can ask, you know, I don't see for Mangalarti. Well, I don't need to follow the regulative principles of getting early up early in the morning. Why? Because for me it's spontaneous. When I feel like getting up, I get up. And when I don't feel like it, it's okay. I don't have to follow. You getting where I'm getting at now? Yeah. So we need some clarity on this thing while the slide is on, if we can. Go ahead. No, I'll leave it up to you now to get the discussion further.
You want to join our team?
No, I'm sorry. I just thought I have to do that. Right, okay.
Okay.
I think that devotion is natural.
Devotion should be natural. Okay. Can you clarify that point? Expand on it a little more. What does it mean devotion should be natural? That means you don't add preservatives and other ingredients.
Can you speak on that?
Yeah, I'm working on that.
You can take it off.
It's okay. What does it mean devotion should be natural? Can you be more specific? Give an example?
I'm sorry. I cannot explain more.
Okay. Well, thank you for your comment.
Anyone else?
Yeah.
Do you want to say something? Yeah, please.
As we discussed in the first meeting, there is very possibly two levels without following the regular principles. One is that you develop such unalloyed love for Krishna, and you're so engrossed in love with Krishna that you're somewhat unaware of your behavior and what you're doing. It's all come very naturally to you. You're absorbed in Krishna consciousness completely and totally. And you're not really aware of the regular principles. You're only aware of your love for God. It's totally absorbing. And the second level may be, as one of the examples in Vrindavan, you may not be in complete unalloyed love of Krishna, and you might be faking it. It happens. We've seen it. And we discussed this in our group.
Yeah, you're pretty close to it.
What? Can I try something?
Yes, please.
What is the topmost principle of bhakti that we should all aspire for? Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So how does this apply to someone who's spontaneously serving the lotus feet of Krishna without following the regular principles? Someone who's always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna and doesn't need to follow the regular principles in order to facilitate that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. That's correct.
Yeah.
Thank you. Would you like to add something, Narayan Prabhu?
Without following the regular principles, maybe that does not necessarily mean that he's actually not following the regular principles.
Yeah,
they need to stop following the regular principles. Prabhupada explains that he gives the analogy that like a
you know, when you're 5 or 6 years old, you're forced to go to school. You don't want to go to school. You know, all the teachers are nonsense, you know, but your parents force you to go to school because they know that when you're getting older, you're going to like it, at least you're going to get a job or something to be useful to you. They know. But you are forced to do the homework and fill in the books and stuff like that. And but gradually you understand, and I've seen that because I was a school teacher. After a while, the kids, you know, like 15, 16 years old, they can take their studies, you know, they invest their own. So they understand at last that this is useful, this is practical, and they don't feel forced. Although they do the same things that they were doing before,
yes,
but
yes.
They haven't stopped writing or reading, but they do it like because they know that it's good for them.
The activity is the same, but the motivation changes. First they are forced, and then they're spontaneous. Yeah, I just want to comment further on his point, and we'll come to you. Okay, would you say the same principle applies with NOI text 7? Like we start chanting the holy name, but it's bitter. But then, like when you have jaundice, you're sick. Then later you take sugar cane. Then it becomes sweet.
Yeah.
So that principle would also, same principle. Thank you so much.
Nice.
Prabhu,
nice.
Yes.
Yeah, in the last text, I asked Maharaj why Arjuna
was not following waiting for Madhurati. And Maharaj said, Arjuna is already civilized. So following the duty principles make us civilized humanity.
Can you say that again a little more slowly? Take the mic a little further away.
Yeah, following the duty principles make somebody become a civilized human being.
Following the regular principles
makes you become a civilized
human being. Makes you become a civilized human being.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you follow the regular principles, and then as a civilized human being, then you get some attraction for process of bhakti. Thank you so much.
He's saying that...
Maharaj?
He's saying that... to follow the regular the principles, like at the time of initiation you follow four principles in that sense also.
Mm-hmm.
But the regulative principles includes rising early in the morning, attending Mangalati and so forth. But to follow the regulative principles makes you a human being. But when you're in spontaneous love of attachment like this, you don't need to worry about being a human being, you're already that. So therefore you don't need to follow the regulative principles because there's no effort in following it. You already that. Is that all right? Go ahead. We can conclude now.
Okay. So we'll wrap up this section and thank everyone for their contributions. It's very enlivening and enlightening. We'll move on to our next section here. Who is qualified for Raganuga? Can I have a volunteer to read, please? Maybe Prabhuji. Yeah. Team member.
When one is able to chant in Kirtasi, he attains the stage of Samanavastha, the stage of remembering, recollecting, observation, meditation, constant remembrance and praise are the five items of the progressive Krishna Samarana. At first, remembrance of Krishna may be interrupted at intervals, but later remembrance possesses like uninterrupted.
Right, so this is from that our NOI text 8 purport, and I was looking for some basic parameter to understand what is the qualification to enter into Raganuga Bhakti, and this is what I found. And now I'm thinking from our conversation discussion, this concept, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna, this is basically it in a more detailed and expanded form, that constant He's at the stage of remembering, always remembering Krishna, and that remembering is further details broken down into recollection, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance and trance, and it's progressive Krishna smarana. Smarana means to remember, shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu smaranam, to remember. So this is the details of smaranam. And then at first remembrance of Krishna may be interrupted at intervals, but later remembrance proceeds uninterrupted. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Always remember Krishna means uninterrupted. The remembrance becomes uninterrupted. And one thought came to me, like the gopis, they complained to Lord Brahma, why you gave us these eyelids? When I close my eyes, then I don't see Krishna for 1/11th of a second. Why you gave me these eyelids? They get so upset just because they can't see Krishna for a second. So someone who's in Raga Yuga qualifies for Raga Yuga. Such a person, if they don't remember Krishna for 1/12th, 1/11th of a second, they get upset, they get excited like that. So this is the qualification for Raga Yuga. You constantly remember Krishna, regardless of the situation. And another thing is listed here. What, can you read the first sentence?
When one is able to chant in ecstasy.
Chanting in ecstasy. Okay, what does it mean to chant in ecstasy? Can anyone say any symptoms of ecstatic chanting? Astasakritu bhav? Standing of the hairs on end.
Tears from the eyes.
Prabhu
here was chanting in ecstasy on the floor.
Prabhuji was in ecstasy. Okay, very good. Jai Ho. Give us some insights, maybe some like shadows, some beginning signs of this ecstasy
rolling
coming.
On the
rolling on the floor. Crying. Shivering. Trembling.
Laughing.
What's that? And chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So these are some of the beginning qualifications for Raga Yuga. Are we ready for Raga Yuga? Are we chanting in ecstasy? Are we constantly remembering Krishna? These are some important considerations. Oh, can we move on? Okay. So I'd like to do a little brainstorm. Bhakta Mike, do we have any marker anywhere? Yeah. Can some devotees give us some examples of Krishna's devotees in Vrindavan that perform Raga Yuga Bhakti? Names of any devotees, and ideally also what rasa they're in, if you can add that. Yes, Prabhu.
Rupa Goswami.
Who's that?
Rupa Goswami.
Okay, Rupa Goswami. Huh?
The gopis.
Okay, put Rupa Goswami, then put the gopis. Yes, Prabhu. Did you want to add something, or you already got yours? Tom Prabhu.
Narottam Das.
Narottam Das. Okay, Shri put it down. Srila Prabhupada. Okay. I was putting them up. The second lady. Other examples of Krishna's devotees in Vrindavan. Yes. Huh?
There is so many.
Okay, give one.
Vilay Chaitanya.
What's that?
Vilay Chaitanya.
Vilay Chaitanya. Okay.
Das.
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 Okay.
Not the gopis.
Not the gopis.
They're gopis. Not performing Raga Yuga?
They are Ragat Mika.
Oh, okay.
The gopis are eternal souls.
Okay. Ragatnika.
We can have cows.
Yeah. Okay. Why don't we also take the Ragatnika category?
But you need to separate.
Okay. Very good. Take another sheet of paper. Draw a line.
No.
Niche.
Yes.
Yeah? Low. And now let's look at some examples of Krishna's devotees in Vrindavan performing Ragatmika Bhakti.
Gopis.
Okay. What? Who said?
Mother Yashoda.
Nanda Maharaj. Ragatmika Bhaktas.
Coward boys.
Ragatmika Bhaktas. By any specific name?
Balaram.
Balaram. Madhumanga. Shri Ram. Shri Ram. Shri Tulasi Maharani. What's that?
This Sunday.
This Sunday is Tulasi Maharani's appearance day.
There you go.
some other Radhatmika bhaktas in Vrindavan, eternal associates, Ganga, Jamuna, Saravi Kao.
Yeah,
Why not? There's the principal associate.
Oh.
Kali is not a principal.
Okay. That's a different category. Someone make note, we should ask Maharaj at the end of the class to describe to us about why Kali is not a principal associate of Krishna. Huh? That's a good question for the end of the class. Okay, we're getting a good list here of Raghunuga Bhakti and Raghatmika Bhakti. Very good. So now, I want to ask you a question about, see these devotees here, these Raghunuga devotees, Rupa Goswami, Narottam Das, Srila Prabhupada, Hridaya Chaitanya Das. Now, are these devotees chanting their rounds? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, so we're looking here and it says without following regular principles, but they're chanting their rounds. So how is it that they're Raghunuga Bhaktas? Yes, Prabhu.
They're doing it without extra effort, but
they do it naturally. Without extra effort, that is why they are in that level.
Uh-huh.
Extra effort involved. It is natural. It's part of them. It's like breathing for them, chanting.
Breathing is this following regular principles is spontaneous for them.
Okay.
They follow it just naturally. Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to give any other explanation? Why do these devotees? They're Raghunuga devotees, but they chant their rounds. Why do they chant their rounds? They don't need to. They don't have to follow regular principles, but they do. Yes, Narayan Prabhu.
In the prayer of the six Goswami, you said that they were chanting the measurements in Sankhya Purvaka.
Uh-huh. It sounds like sadhana bhakti to me.
And also they were doing this for the benefit of other people.
They do for the benefit of others, because they're ghosting on these. Showing by example, they're preachers, they show by their own example. They don't need to follow for themselves, but for the benefit of others, they set an example. Excellent. Thank you. Okay. Let's look also over here on the board where we're writing, and let's look at these Raghatmika devotees. Do these devotees chant their rounds?
No.
No. Why not?
Yes?
They chant. They have Japamala, Mother Yashoda?
No, they have Japamala, they can chant in the mind.
They chant in the mind.
Right. Mother Yashoda, the Dharma voice, they're always singing songs about Krishna's pastimes and his adventures in the forest and the songs.
But it's not according to a regular 16 rounds, but they're always chanting, they're spontaneously attracted. Yes, Prabhu. Krishna is always in their mind. They're spontaneously attracted. Very good.
In their case, bhakti is not the part of life. Bhakti itself is their life.
Say again?
In their case, bhakti is not the part of life. Their life is bhakti only.
Bhakti is not part of their life. Their life is bhakti only. You've all, 100%. They're just permeated, completely saturated with Krishna consciousness. Excellent. Okay, so these devotees, they don't chant fixed number of rounds, they're just spontaneously attracted. These devotees are spontaneously attracted, but they do chant rounds. What about us? What should we do? Yes?
Try to follow them.
Try to follow them. Who? These devotees or these devotees?
Both.
Who said both?
said, well, why?
Can
you give him a microphone?
You need to be complete, you need to be both, you need to have both aspects.
We want to follow,
sorry,
these devotees, and we want to follow these devotees. It's like, we're like here, okay, in Sadhana Bhakti, and then the next level, Ragatika, next, Raganuga, and then these are the highest level, Ragatika Bhaktas, which we can aspire to
when we go back home, back to Godhead.
So we want to follow first in these footprints of these Raganuga Bhaktas, who are doing Sadhana Bhakti as an example for all of us. And then, hopefully, with the mercy of Guru Gauranga, Vaishnavas, Krishna, we can proceed back home, back to Godhead, and return to the association of Radhatmika devotees. Is that okay? Can we move on?
Very good.
Thank you. Okay, so, what are some activities of bhakti that are performed by the residents of Vrindavan? I'm talking about these devotees, Ragatmika devotees. Residents of Raj. What are some activities? Yes?
Rasa dance.
Rasa dance. Okay, let's get another paper. And can we put this on there? We can do that. Okay, Rasa dance!
Cooking.
Yes?
Herding the cows.
Churning the butter.
Churning the butter. Good. Versus cream and butter. Excellent. Activities.
Swimming.
Singing.
The cowboys are wrestling.
Eating together. Honoring prasadam together.
Swimming also.
Jamuna.
Chastising Krishna.
Yes.
Playing.
Making garlands. Yes. Huh?
Searching
Krishna. Krishna kaha hai. Where is Krishna?
I forgot.
Forgetting Krishna. No, we don't forget Krishna. Only the believer they forget Krishna. Other activities. Kabu.
Doing silly things with Krishna.
What's that?
To be silly with Krishna.
To be silly with Krishna, to play with Krishna. Activities in the spiritual world. What do they do? What's the activities? Members of Krishna book.
Yeah,
they play with Krishna. Good.
Chanting.
They chant, they sing with Krishna. They fight with Krishna. Yes.
They bless Krishna with the auspicious mantra to protect him from the demons.
They bless Krishna with auspicious mantras to protect him from demons. Wonderful. I think we'll just take one or two more, then we'll wrap up. Because we want to move on. Butter stealing, very critical pastime.
In connection to protecting Krishna,
there was a part in the Krishna book where I mentioned that they are bathing Krishna with cow dung and cow urine.
Oh, yeah, bathing Krishna.
I remember one time I heard about how they put cow dung tilak on Krishna with protective mantras. After hearing that, I was in Vrindavan and I got some cow dung and I put some cow dung tilak. Anyone interested in marketing new products for Goshala, I think that could be a good one.
Okay, so we have quite a wonderful list here we've all come up with. Activities of Ragatmika Bhaktas, Rasa dance, cooking, herding cows, churning butter, singing, wrestling, fighting, eating together, swimming, chastising Krishna, playing hide and seek, cops and rubbers, being silly, chanting, giving blessings, stealing butter, and bathing. Wonderful list. So,
sometimes there's something called Siddha Pranali, where devotees explain that your original position in the spiritual world can be revealed, your activities with Krishna. And sometimes this kind of list is given, that you're an eternal servant of Krishna and these are your activities. We should understand that we should not jump into this prematurely. First deserve,
then desire,
or you might get in the fire.
First deserve,
then desire,
or you might
get in the fire.
One more time.
First deserve,
then desire,
or you might
get into the fire.
So we have to be careful about thinking ourselves prematurely an eternal resident of Krishna. We have to follow first these Raghunuga devotees, like Rupa Goswami, Narottam Das, the Srila Prabhupada, Hridaya Chaitanya Das. These devotees, they were chanting their rounds, they are chanting their rounds, they're following regular principles, even if not for their benefit, for our benefit, to set an example for us, what we should do, before getting into activities of these Raghunuga devotees, and getting into imitating these activities. So, I want to do a little discussion. What are the potential dangers of premature adoption of Raghunuga Bhakti? Yes, Guru?
Sahajya.
Can you explain a little further what Sahajya means?
Like, when we be like imitating like a Raghunuga and like generally like you see in Vasana and other sites like they are imitating like dressing gopis.
Dressing like gopis!
Yeah.
Like... Who's seen it? You seen it? Yeah. Like that?
Yeah.
Okay, who else had a hand up? Yes, Prabhu?
They may fall down.
They may fall down. If it's dangerous, it can cause a fall down. Yes?
But that's part of Leela.
It's part of Leela. Mars is a... This fall down is part of Leela. So, how is that a danger? Huh? You can't answer.
Would you like to take the mic?
Men may say, but even men are...
Yeah, they have their own restaurant, right? Part of Leela. No, that's not correct. I'm just letting you know. You get people at their own restaurant, you know, proper thing. Have some of you bother me, then many of you know the mistresses.
I heard a response that...
Yeah, what's your response to
this? When one time Jack went to the pundit asking for a request so he can go into the temple. And I forgot exactly how the story went, but someone gave a statement like that as part of Leela, and he gave the response, well,
getting old and disease is not really part of the Leela. Getting old and disease is not part of the Leela. Right. If someone is... Yes? Prabhu?
Intentional, conscious, premature adoption, where you consciously attempt to premature adopt Raghunuga Bhakti, it's a little bit like following yourself. The number one cause of following yourself, the outcome of following yourself, usually is confusion. And eventually confusion leads to some form of convinced confusion. And once you have this convinced confusion, you need intervention from senior godbrothers to help you out. And without that intervention, you poop. You just fall down because you've been following yourself. You've been making it up as you go along, trying to premature them.
If you have no shelter, if you have no authority, if you're your own authority.
Yes.
I've heard it said that if one who is his own guru has a fool for his disciple. Okay, Prabhuji, Mike.
Hare Krishna, those who are not following text 1 to 7, mm-hmm. they are and directly jumping into text 8, mm-hmm. they are satisfying their lust instead of transforming their lust into pure food.
They're just
satisfying their lust.
They're enjoying their lust or in suffering from their lust. Mm-hmm. That's a good comment, thank you. Okay. So thank you for sharing some dangers of premature adoption of Rupa Nuga Bhakti. We've also compiled a list. Let's see if there's any aspects of the list that we have not yet come up with. So can someone read first?
Prabhupada has come to attend programs with elevated topics and wristband association.
Yeah.
Okay. Stephen Ronakun with the Babaji's and Risk Bad Association. Mm. Someone else, Marie?
Perform Nirjan Bhajan, no association.
Nirjan Bhajan means you chant alone. You do your devotion alone with no one else.
Neglect Goal Krishna Consciousness Philosophy. Bhagavad Gita and only hear elevated topics like Bhakti Bhava.
Yeah, we hear Prabhupada again and again stating why they want to jump to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why they don't want to hear Bhagavad Gita. This is all Krishna consciousness. So those people who jump prematurely, they selectively hear and they neglect Bhagavad Gita and go only for intimate leelas like with gopis, etc.
Read
Anand
book and neglect the Prabhupada book.
Right. Have you read the latest book available in Loy Bazaar by such and such Raghunath Das Goswami on elevated topics? I'm reading all the time. Oh, very good, Prabhu, but are you reading Prabhupada's books? No time for that. So Prabhupada is our founder acharya. He's our main sustenance. Our nutrition in spiritual life is coming from Prabhupada. Otherwise, if you just go to the Mahaprasad stall and all you eat is this sugar candy and sweets, after some time you'll get sick. You need basics, rice, dal, chawal, chapatis, sabji. You need nutritious. So Prabhupada is our nutrition. And these other books by other devotees, this is just like sweets. So that's a danger, reading other books and neglecting Prabhupada's books. Next.
Neglect of sadhana, rules and regulations, and 16 rounds.
Right, we heard earlier that Raghunuga Bhakti means beyond rules and regulations. So if you prematurely go beyond, then you may neglect chanting your 16 rounds minimum. You may break four regular principles. Yes?
Not actually ready.
Yeah. You might not even get to that point of Raghunuga Bhakti. So now we want to do a little skit. It's called The Holy Name Will Reveal Everything. Well, you were given another name for this skit earlier, Nityananda Ram Prabhu.
Yeah, the other name we had was How Das Became a Cow.
Okay.
So the situation is some new bhaktas are there in the new bhakta ashram.
Hello. Nityananda, I just read this great book about these Radhatmika devotees. And these Radhatmika devotees are so advanced and they're so wonderful. They're talking about becoming eternal associates of Lord Krishna.
I'm there right now.
Go back home, back to Godhead. You know, I was looking at this picture the other day. It was Krishna and the eight principal gopis. One of them was playing the mridanga.
Oh, yeah.
One of them was playing the veena. One of them had a water bottle, another one was writing a letter, and another one had some sweets. I was wondering, which one is me? But then, I was thinking, maybe I'm not a gopi, maybe I'm a cow.
I got it.
I think you're a cow too.
You feel the same way?
I feel the same way. We're light-minded devotees.
were cows!
Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's pastimes,
they will all be revealed in due course of time. But if we do it prematurely and we jump to the last stage, then we may get into difficulty. And that's what's happening now. So let's rectify this by chanting the Panchatattva Mahamantra and the Hare Krishna Mantra and go back into our normal situation, back to square one.
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Nanda Srivastani Govardhana Sarvinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Thank you.
Great, great presentation. Just switch the slides. Thank you very much. That was wonderful. Lessons learned about prematurely jumping onto an advanced state. Put it on again. We'll take your question shortly. Okay, good. Okay, just to conclude that section for text number 8 in support of the nice, amazing presentation, Prabhupada says, yeah, devotional service must be without ulterior motives, then material conditions cannot check it. Gradually one can rise to the platform of spontaneous loving service. A child is sent to school by force to receive an education, which you gave the example. Alright? Yeah. But when he gets a little taste of education at an advanced age, he automatically participates and becomes a learned scholar. One cannot force a person to become a scholar, but sometimes force is used in the beginning. A child is forced to go to school and read and write according to the instructions of his teacher. Such is the difference between Vaidhi Bhakti and spontaneous Bhakti. That word spontaneous Bhakti is Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Okay. Now, can you give me other examples of how, I mean, from Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, it becomes spontaneous for one to still continue to do as they wind it up in the end? You know, they jumped over to one of the residents of Vrindavan and following the cows, but he brought them back to Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And that Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti of chanting and so forth, especially Panchatattva Mantra and Hare Krishna Mahamantra in the drama that they did. And can you give other examples of activities that we do that is actually Vaidhi initially, and the same activity is Raganuga? Come on. Chanting the holy name, yes. In other words, in the beginning stages you may apply voluntary force to chant your 16 rounds. But in the advanced stages, you don't tell anybody, but you look forward to chanting. You look forward, that's part of Raganuga. You look forward to chanting. You find great relish in chanting, coming out of the jaundice-like condition as described in the previous verses. Other example, yes? Yes, deity worship. Deity worship. In other words, a pujari, while serving the deities according to Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti rules and regulations, when the pujari has the last darshan of the deity in the evening, when he goes and takes rest, he's not really resting. He's looking forward to seeing the deities in the morning and continue his service spontaneously. Like that. You look forward to the darshan. It becomes spontaneous. Sometimes there's no need for an alarm clock in a sense. You know, you're up and you want to go see the deities. This is Raganuga. You look forward spontaneously. Same activity, but there's no question of effort and there's no question of voluntary force. Same activity. That's Raganuga. Other examples? Yes? Yes, waking up for Mangal Arati, it's not a drag for you. You know, oh, this is wonderful. You know, you get up, immediately get up, you want to take shower and you look forward to going to Mangal Arati. That's spontaneous. So this is Raganuga force, as Prabhupada gives in the same example, same activity, but looking forward to it later on in the mature stage as more natural. I'm moving ahead. Then Vaidhi Bhakti to Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Here Prabhupada gives a difference first, now it's two. One has to learn to use the typewriter by following the regulative principle of the typing book. One has to place his fingers on the keys in such a way and practice. But when one becomes adept, he can type swiftly and correctly without even looking at the keys. Similarly, one has to follow the rules and regulations of devotional service as they are set down by the spiritual master. Then one can come to the point of spontaneous loving service. This love is already there within the heart of everyone. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. Spontaneous service is not artificial. It comes naturally. Just like this example of learning to typewriter, and then naturally it comes. Now, at this point, I'll give an example of a Raganuga Vaishnav. A Raganuga Vaishnav as a disciple, although the spiritual master may not be a Raganuga, like that. What is the definition of a first class disciple? Anyone knows? Yes, he serves the spiritual master without being instructed by the spiritual master, and the spiritual master is amazed. Oh, how does he know? And how does he know this is what I want done? Without being instructed, he serves. And that pleases the spiritual master. That pleases the spiritual. In other words, he knows exactly the consciousness of the spiritual master, and he serves naturally and spontaneously. That is actually a Raganuga disciple. Like that. But if the spiritual master instructs you and then you serve, that is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. But without being instructed, you naturally understand and know the consciousness of the spiritual master and you serve automatically. Raganuga. And sometimes that particular disciple may even be more advanced than the spiritual master, but he does not show his advancement. He's just naturally serving without being instructed. So that's an example. So we should stick to that. We should stick to that. In other words, don't try to go quickly to the eternal associates of Krishna. Stick to the spiritual master who is Shakshat Arit Vena. He represents the disciplic succession and the supreme personality of Servitor Godhead. Not the Supreme Personality of God, and so it's important to have that type of Raganuga where you become a first-class disciple. Okay? In text 8, this is there in your purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has commented as follows upon this verse. One who has not yet developed interest in Krishna consciousness should give up all material motives and train his mind by following the progressive regulative principles, namely chanting and remembering Krishna and his name, form, quality, pastimes and so forth. In this way, after developing a taste for such things, one should try to live in Vrindavan and pass his time constantly remembering Krishna's name, fame, pastimes and qualities under the direction and protection of an expert devotee. This is the sum and substance of all instruction regarding the cultivation of devotional service. For us, under the direction and protection of the expert devotee, who can that be? Who can that be? Principally Srila Prabhupada and his followers. Okay, just keep to that. Just keep. How about this? Every day, This is Raganuga within Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Prabhupada has given us this. Who's the resident of Vrindavan here? Who's the resident of Vrindavan? Who? Tulsi Maharani. What's her name? Vrindadevi. She's Bhakti Devi also. That's all we have to do. Attend the morning program, go for Tulsi Puja. That is Raganuga. That is Raganuga. Just see, you can see. You can see the see that their translation, O Tulasi, beloved of Krishna. I bow down before you again and again. My desire is to obtain the service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Whoever takes shelter of you, that is Tulasi, has his wishes fulfilled. Bestowing your mercy upon him, you make him a resident of Vrindavan. Just see. Raganuga. My desire is that you will also give me a residence in the pleasure groves of Sri Vrindavan Dham. We don't have to go anywhere. Just follow this morning program. Go to Tulsi Arti, Tulsi Puja. Thus, within my vision, I always behold the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. I beg you to make me a follower, anuga, to follow, of the coward devils of Vraja. Please give me the privilege of devotional service and make me your own maidservant. This is Vrindadevi. This very fallen and lowly servant of Krishna prays, may I always swim in the love of Sri Sri Radha Govinda. Prabhupada has given us Vrindadevi. And how else can you do that? When you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, especially japa, you chant in front of Tulsi Maharani. That's Raganuga. Just by the description from what we sing every morning. And of course we have Srila Prabhupada as a Raganuga Vaishnava and simultaneously Ragatmika, whatever his inner identity may be in the spiritual world, even the six Goswamis, even Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, our previous acharyas. And we're chanting on Tulasi beads, yes, amazing. Constant touch with a Raganuga Vaishnav, Vaishnavi, as Tulasi Maharani, and identity as Ragatmika as Vrindadevi. See? As Vrindadevi. Right. Rupa Goswami Raganuga, and his identity as Ragatmika as Rupa Manjari. So we don't have to go anywhere. It's right there in the morning program. And did you know, sometimes I visit the Gaudiya Math temples, and yes, and I used to go. Now they have introduced the worship of Tulsi also in the morning. They never used to do it before.
Wow, when did it happen? When did it happen? When did they start? I always thought they didn't.
No, they never did. Now, Prabhupada introduced that in ISKCON. Yeah, as part of what. Now they're doing Vaishnava. It's okay, let them do. Follow Prabhupada. Right. Now they have entered the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Gaudiya Math temples. Right. The reason why they introduced it is because some of our devotees from ISKCON go there and they say, but we used to do Tulsi Puja. Then they introduced it to say, okay, we'll do the same also. You used to with it's a spillover from some of the devotees who are in ISKCON going there and saying, you know, this is done. But we'll do also. To please you, because now you're with us. That's how it started. Went to the root of it also. Okay, so this is important. We have it right in our Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. It's Raganuga within Vaidhi. We follow the morning program and eventually this will have an effect on the consciousness in our mature stages internally. Right. Okay, we should take that break. We gave them extra time for the presentation. It was wonderful. going from one step to another, very well thought out. I'm sure you all sat together for many hours discussing it before you presented it. Great efforts for them. Let's chant for them once more for the nice, wonderful.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
10-minute break and be back. Srila Prabhupada.